The seven habits allow our strengths to come from within ourselves. But the foundations of the seven habits, the principles upon which they're built, are not internal, but external. They are timeless truths that are self-evident. Each of the habits grows from natural laws that operate regardless of whether or not we pay attention to them. This is why Stephen Covey refers to them as an ecosystem. They are built on the immutable concepts of trust, integrity, service, and meaning. By living the seven habits, you align yourself with these natural laws. You become principle-centered. One of the fundamental elements of this process is the development of a mission statement, a declaration of who you are and what you are about. What is the source of mission statements? Stephen tells us that they come from our secret lives.
We live three lives. We live our public life. We go often into many social activities that are public and so forth. So that's a pretty self-evident life. The second life is our private life. That's away from the public. Now, we may be alone, or we may choose to be with a particular friend, or with our loved ones in our family, or simply be totally alone. And that's our private life. That interfaces with the public, but we value it. We value both parts to our lives. The third life is part of the other two. It's the significant part. This is our secret life. That's where our heart is. For instance, I could be in a large public setting and put my consciousness into exploring what my motives are. What am I doing here? How can I make a difference? How can I make a contribution in this setting? I'm in my secret life while I'm in a public setting. Or I could be in the mountains alone or on a beach alone and not go into my secret life at all. It isn't until I go inside and ask my heart, what is its motive structure? What really are my desires? It isn't until you begin to become self-aware and explore the programs that you're living out. You stand apart from them. That is one of the unique human endowments that animals do not possess. They do not have the power to stand apart from their programming and to examine it. That's the secret life. Now just look how that unique endowment becomes so vital to all of the habits. Let's say that I'm wanting to work on habit two, to develop a personal mission statement. Obviously, if a person is seriously trying to undertake that effort, they're going into their secret life because they're asking, what is my life about? They can explore their psychic history, their background, their genetic makeup. That self-awareness then leads to the ability to look at other things, other unique endowments in that secret life. One is our conscience. Our conscience is the internal sense of right and wrong. That is part of our secret life. Now, Freud believed that the conscience is primarily a product of the public life, of society, of the culture. Carl Jung split with Freud on that very point. He acknowledged such a thing as a social conscience, but he said much deeper than the social conscience is what he called a collective unconscious, which has to do with that which is most generic, most foundational of all people, to all people, regardless of their culture, their upbringing, their religion, their race, and that in that collective unconscious is a sense of right and wrong that has been given to us. It's like a unique endowment. We can also visit the power of our mind to create or to imagine that which does not exist now. That's another unique human endowment. Animals act on the basis of memory, not imagination. In that imagination lies our faith and hope for the future. Now notice, when you go into your secret life, you are self-aware, you look at your conscience, and perhaps can examine your life against your conscience. You also look at what's possible, what you can imagine, what you can envision, all while you're into your secret life. And you could do this in your public life or in your private life. We all have the power to do that. All right, now let's just say that I want to work on this personal mission statement. In fact, to make it simpler sometimes, in large organizations, I like to ask them, go into your secret life and ask this fundamental question. What would you like your tombstone to say? What would you like the last sentence that describes your life to say? What's the epitaph? I noticed that General Schwarzkopf was asked that question after the Gulf War by a television interviewer, and he paused for a second and said, a good soldier who served his country and loved his family. Now, if you just think about those few words, they comprise many, many guiding principles, guiding criteria for his life. A good soldier who served his country and loved his family. The principle of service, of love, of goodness, the different roles in his life, his country, his family, his personhood. See, it contains so much. Well, let me just ask, what would you like your epitaph to say? Now pause. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to observe what might be happening in your mind as you pause. You're looking at yourself. There's the endowment of self-awareness. You're probably using your imagination and thinking about your future. Now you're using the unique endowment of imagination. My guess is you're also finding that the very essence of your nature is that it is moral, that you have a conscience, you have a sense of what is right and what is wrong, even apart from your upbringing. That may be part of it, but you may distinguish between the two. Now listen to it. Now remember, you won't receive any social or public affirmation for this effort. In fact, it may not be a normal part of your private life at all to ever visit your secret life, to go into your heart. But here you're making the effort. There's another unique human endowment. It's called willpower, independent will. So you have to explore, am I really willing to go the distance on this epitaph, these values that I'm trying to internalize into my life? Am I really willing to walk this talk? Am I really willing to put these first things first, habit three? That's where you go through the internal dialogue between the different parts of your nature. Now notice what's happening. Habits 4, 5, and 6 immediately are the habits of how you work in your secret life. You think win-win toward yourself, toward all parts of your nature. If you get too angry at yourself and you deny one part of your nature, you'll come out of the other part, yes, I'm willing to do that. But then downstream, when the day-to-day events crush upon you, you'll find that you won't be able to keep that commitment or to work toward that particular goal or to actualize that particular value. Why? You haven't drawn upon those human endowments enough because you want this mission statement to become the constitution of your life. You don't want it to just be a bunch of platitudes to impress people with. You want it to become part of your very nature so that the criteria that you have put into it are also into your muscular system, into your sinews, into the way that you live your life day by day. It's like the American Constitution. You might say that the preamble and the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, together with the Declaration of Independence, represents basically what we could call the mission statement of the United States of America. But do you know what it took to produce that Constitution? A Revolutionary War, probably the best blood of that century. It also took people pledging their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. It also took an extended constitutional convention. In a sense, they were practicing habits 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 regarding the formation of our entire country. They had to get into a self-aware state. They had to look at what had happened in the prior regime and administration, why they were going to break out and declare their independence. They had to look at how we're going to fashion this government that will create the framework in which everything else takes place. What are the fundamental rights to be preserved, put into the Bill of Rights? Are we willing to walk this talk? What is being writ large there is writ small inside our own secret life. As we develop our own mission statements and work with the issue of our willpower, to decide, is this in fact going to be the constitution of our life? Or are we going to betray it when put under pressure, when push comes to shove? Am I going to go the distance on this? Imagine the internal communication, habit 5, intra-personal communication, not inter, not between people, intra, within your own heart, as you weigh out, what are the costs? Am I going to live a life of total integrity? If you get your secret criteria out of the public arena, you're being lived. You're living out other people's agendas, their timetables. Where do you get your own sense of integratedness, your own sense of integrity? That comes from habit 3. You do not betray habit 2. Habit 2 is where you decide what is truly significant to you. What are the principles upon which you operate? And what is your life about? And then you look at habit 3. But can you see now how those 4 unique human endowments are being exercised in those first 3 habits? Can you also see how habits 4, 5, and 6 focus directly on the development of 2 and the keeping it at 3? What does this synergy mean intrapersonally? Do you carry out this inward conversation in your own secret life, your heart, using those 4 unique endowments? Gradually what happens is you get insight. It'll come eventually. You get an idea that will heal 2 disparate parts of your nature. You'll get identified with a superordinate goal, and that will subordinate all of this psychic energy around the way that perhaps you were raised. It will help overcome the tendencies to become impatient or to be unwise and to overreact because you have this superordinate goal. What's happened? Synergy. Intrapersonal synergy has happened inside yourself. You're beginning to fashion the Constitution. And there may be a little revolutionary war inside and an extended constitutional convention. Don't force the processes. There is no shortcut to this. The strength of these mission statements lie as much in the process that produced these mission statements as in the content of the mission statements themselves.